Good morning. Welcome to St. James Westminster Anglican Church. My name is Keith Nethery. I'm the rector of the parish. And joining me in the service of the word today is the Reverend Hannah Scorer. Our usual cast doing music today from various places. For the first time, I believe, since we've been doing this service, Duncan Sizeland is joining us today, along with Victoria Piovison, Katie Clark, Paul Grambo, our music director, Steve Hollowitz as well. And as always, at the control board and making the sound sizzling is our engineer, John Gardy. Just a quick note, somewhat of an announcement, I guess, before we start with the liturgy this morning. Most of you will know that in just 2 weeks' time, we will be reopening St. James Westminster for worship. It will be under a rather stringent set of rules and regulations and social distancing and all things to ensure that we do not pass along COVID-19, all the pandemic cautionary things that we need to do. For those who like this service, fear not. It will not be going away anytime soon. We will continue to host an audio service each weekend, and you can listen that way. The worship services will be, for the most part, on Tuesday evening at 7, Wednesday morning at 10, Saturday evening at 6, and 8 and 10:30 on Sunday morning. For Saturday and Sunday, you will have to sign up. We will be limited to 50 people for each service. They're cast of about 10 people that we need for each service, so there will be 40 spots. There will be a way of signing up through the office. We'll get you all the details on that soon, but you will have to indicate well in advance if you are going to be here or not. The church will be socially distanced. There will be assigned seats and all those kinds of things. There will be social distancing as you come in and many other things. There will be a complete pastoral letter coming sometime later this week or the first of the week after, which will give you all of the details. But I thought it would be a good thing to give you a heads up on some of the things that will be happening. We continue to meet on a weekly, perhaps more often basis now, in putting together what the diocese is calling the amber stage of reopening. That's the business. Now on to the purpose, and that is to worship God. Sit back. Calm your mind and your spirit. Come, Holy Spirit.
Bye. author and giver of all good things. Graft in our hearts the love of your name. Increase in us true religion. Nourish us in all goodness. And of your great mercy, keep us in the same through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. A reading from the letter to the Romans. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering. Persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Extend hospitality to strangers. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. If it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peacefully with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave room for the wrath of God, for it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. No. If your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink, for by doing this you will heap burning coals on their heads. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. The word of the Lord.
A reading from the Gospel according to Matthew. From that time on, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and undergo great suffering at the hands of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed, and on the third day be raised. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, God forbid it! Lord, this must never happen to you! Jesus turned and said to Peter, Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things. Then Jesus told his disciples, If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit them if they gain the whole world but forfeit their life? Or what will they give in return for their life? For the Son of Man is to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay everyone for what has been done. Truly, I tell you, there are some standing here who will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. The Gospel of Christ.
May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Get behind me, Satan. Those are iconic words. Those are words that resonate, that we remember. They're even strong enough to penetrate popular culture. And yet, when we hear them, what do we think? I guess most of us probably feel a little sympathy for Peter. I mean, all he says is, God forbid, Lord, that this must never happen to you. What's so bad about that? Where did Peter go wrong? Shouldn't Jesus be grateful that one of his followers, his friends, was worried about the suffering he tells them that he's going to undergo? But no, Jesus just turns and snaps at him. Can you imagine? Ugh, if I was Peter, I would be so embarrassed. I just want the earth to swallow me up. So maybe we all feel a little bad for Peter. And maybe we all, with our 21st century vision and full knowledge of Jesus' sacrifice on the cross, look at this and say, well, come on. Jesus is doing this thing that God wants, and he doesn't need his disciples making him feel bad or nervous. He's just snapping at Peter out of his own stress. We all do that. Or maybe it's just simply because Jesus knows that it doesn't have to be this way, and he's upset about giving his life for a cause that doesn't need to end up here. There's a lot of ways we can look at this interchange between Peter and Jesus and come away thinking that this is a human moment between two friends, one who is going to suffer greatly and one who is going to have to live with the legacy of his dear teacher's sacrifice. And you know what? That's probably a pretty good sermon right there. It's a nice message. We can all feel good about it, throw a bone on it, and we're done. Then we can all go have a nap. But here's the problem with it, because if you've been listening to me for long enough, you know I'm going to keep going. I don't think that this really encapsulates what's going on here. At least I don't think that it's what's important to us now in 2020. See, the thing is, this passage is really hard to take. Because you have to do one of two things to preach this and keep your job. You got to water down the cross until it's meaningless and weak, or you have to ramp up the idea of punishment and good versus evil thinking. Because that's what people want to see in this. If you're of the more conservative, self-flagellating side, you want to see this as Jesus telling everyone, be good or else, follow the rules. You are a stumbling block when you don't do what I say. Exert extreme social control and blindly follow black and white rules. Deny yourselves. And if you can't stomach that, if you fall a little more liberal and fuzzy, then you want this to be, sometimes my neighbors make loud noises and I'm nice to them. That's my cross to bear. Being nice is good and it makes us like Jesus. But these both miss the point. Because Jesus is literally saying, take up your cross and follow me. He is asking us to sacrifice. I've been having a lot of conversations with a friend of mine down in the States. And we've been talking a lot lately about community responsibility. And he said to me, you know, it's hard for white people or people of privilege to hear all the time that they are the villain. It's hard to be called the oppressor. It's hard to have people distrust you and dislike you because of who your ancestors are. And I said, yes, I know that's really hard, isn't it? As a woman of color, I know what that's like. I know what it's like to sacrifice your dignity, your pride, what little power you have, your very humanity to accommodate people, to protect yourself from harm. I know what it's like to have people distrust you and dislike you because of who your ancestors are. But I am also very privileged. I grew up in Canada in a middle-class home. I didn't experience a lot of hardship that others have, and I'm very grateful for that. There is a lot that I have, which means there's a lot that I can sacrifice. Because that's really what this is truly about. What are you willing to give to those in need? What are you willing to give to raise up those who are powerless? What are you willing to give to the building of a kingdom? As I said to my friend, who I love dearly, I know that you are not personally a bad person. You work very hard to be good. But right now, what the world needs from you is to be better than that. To be bigger. To recognize that loving from a position of power requires you to lower yourself, to give up your privilege. Communal responsibility is important because it is about sacrifice. It's about an acknowledgement of the pain and suffering of those you claim to stand in solidarity with, and it's a show that you are willing to put your own power or wealth or privilege or life on the line for this. That you are in this with us for real. Jesus is yes. Probably having a very human moment here, but he is also showing us a very divine truth that the power of the cross is not the power of the world. The power of the world is to coerce, to use violence, to kill. It pushes down and it takes for itself. It protects its own and it pays the cost with the lives of others. But the power of the cross is the willingness to die. To die to oneself, to give up power, to kneel down, to embrace those considered the very bottom. It is the power of love and hope humbly given to those in need. It is the power we all have to sacrifice for a better world. This world is in great need of us right now, my brothers and sisters in Christ. It needs our willingness to stand against power that oppresses, to speak up for those crucified, to renounce systems and institutions and leaders who choose themselves over others, who eschew communal responsibility for exclusive hierarchy. It is time to take up our cross. And to remind ourselves of who the world needs us to be. Amen.
Travelers on the road.
As most of you know, the early service on Sunday morning at St. James Westminster is usually taken from the Book of Common Prayer, the traditional worship book of the Anglican Church of Canada, and in fact in the Anglican Communion. Most of the other services we do here are from the more contemporary Book of Alternative Services. But I know that a lot of the folks that come to the early service on Sundays have been listening intently to our audio service, so I thought, why don't we give them this segment of the service from the Book of Common Prayer? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. I invite you to take whatever position is comfortable for you in prayer. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, high and mighty King of kings, Lord of lords, the only ruler of princes, who dost from thy throne behold all the dwellers upon earth, most heartily we beseech thee with thy favor to behold our most gracious Sovereign Lady, Queen Elizabeth, and so replenish her with the grace of the Holy Spirit, that she may always incline to thy will and walk in thy way, and endue her plenteously with heavenly gifts. Grant her in health and wealth long to live. Strengthen her that she may vanquish and overcome all her enemies. And finally, after this life, she may attain everlasting joy and felicity through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty and everlasting God, from whom cometh every good and perfect gift, send upon our bishops and clergy and all congregations committed to their charge the healthful spirit of thy grace, and that they may truly please thee, pour upon them the continual dew of thy blessing. Grant this, O Lord, for the honor of our advocate and mediator, Jesus Christ. Amen. O God, the creator and preserver of all humankind, we humbly beseech thee for all sorts and conditions of people, that thou wouldest be pleased to make thy ways known unto them, thy saving health unto all nations. More especially, we pray for the good estate of the Catholic Church, that it may so be guided and governed by thy good Spirit, that all who profess and call themselves Christians may be led into the way of truth and hold the faith in unity of spirit, in the bond of peace and in righteousness of life. Finally, we commend to thy fatherly goodness all those who are in any ways afflicted or distressed in mind, body, or estate, especially those for whom our prayers are now desired, that it may please thee to comfort and relieve them according to their several necessities, giving them patience under thy sufferings and a happy issue out of all their affliction. And this we beg for Jesus Christ, his sake. Amen. Almighty God, Father of all mercies, we, thine unworthy servants, do give thee most humble and hearty thanks for all thy goodness and loving kindness to us and to all people. We bless thee for our creation, preservation, and all the blessings of this life, but above all for thine inestimable love in the redemption of the world by our Lord Jesus Christ, for the means of grace and for the hope of glory. And we beseech thee, give us that due sense of all thy mercies, that our hearts may be unfadedly thankful, and that we show forth thy praise not only with our lips, but in our lives, by giving up ourselves to thy service, and by walking before thee in holiness and righteousness all our days. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom, with thee and the Holy Ghost, be all honor and glory, world without end. Amen. Almighty God, who has given us grace at this time with one accord to make our common supplications unto thee, and dost promise that when two or three are gathered together in thy name, thou wilt grant their requests, fulfill now, O Lord, the desires and petitions of thy servants as may be most expedient for them, granting us in this world knowledge of thy truth, and in the world to come, life everlasting. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, now and forever. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be with you, those that you love, and those that love you, this day and forevermore. Amen.
Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen.